You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
In 1993, the Canadian government set up the Royal Commission of Inquiry on the Blood System in Canada, or the CREVA Commission. Thousands of people had developed diseases, some fatal, from inadequately screened blood. In 1997, the CREVA Commission recommended the establishment of the Canadian Blood Services to replace the Red Cross. The Canadian Blood Services have been collecting blood ever since, but it doesn't collect blood from gay men or any man who has had sex with another man, even once, since 1977. The Supreme Court of Ontario ruled last week that Kyle Freeman, a sexually active gay man, was guilty of negligence for donating blood, and it awarded the Canadian Blood Services $10,000 in damages. Douglas Elliott is a leading constitutional lawyer, and he represented the Canadian AIDS Society in the Freeman case. He joins us to talk about the issues that led to the court decision and the ramifications of the case. Hello, Douglas.
Hello.
Now, why did the Canadian Blood Services sue Kyle Freeman?
Kyle Freeman was a blood donor. He gave blood many times without incident, presumably helped many people. On the second last occasion he donated blood, he entered into an exchange of emails with the Canadian Blood Services, basically criticizing their policy against accepting blood donations from gay men and taunting them, saying that he was a gay man. This alarmed the Canadian Blood Services. They went to court and got a court order against his ISP to find out his real identity behind his email. Once they had done this, they struck him off the blood donor rolls, checked back on all of his blood, and then proceeded with a lawsuit against him, claiming that they should be entitled to damages for negligent misrepresentation for him having lied on the questionnaire about the gay sex question. He counterclaimed against them, saying that the question was a violation of the Charter of Rights, and therefore he had no obligation to answer it truthfully, and the case went to trial on that basis, and I represented the Canadian AIDS Society, which was an intervener in the case.
And why was there a cash award? What was the cash award for?
The cash award of $10,000, this was an amount that was agreed to between Mr. Freeman and the Canadian Blood Services as their estimate of the cost of having to do this investigation to try and find out who he was, to locate his blood, to test it, to make sure that nothing bad had happened with respect to his blood. Of course, nothing bad had happened, but they incurred expenses as a result of that investigation, and the court found that they were entitled to recover those expenses.
And what is the question on the questionnaire that they said that he had lied on?
Well, they said he had lied on a couple of them, but the principal one that we were concerned with is the one that says, if you're a man, have you had sex with a man even once since 1977? And he clearly admitted that he had lied to that question because he was a sexually active gay man.
What was the position of the Canadian AIDS Society as intervener? Why did they want to intervene?
The Canadian AIDS Society has had a long-standing interest in the protection of the blood supply. In fact, it goes back to before the existence of the Canadian Blood Services. We were an active participant in the CREVA Commission that led to the creation of the Canadian Blood Services. We believe very strongly that the safety of the blood supply is important, and the safety of the blood supply when it comes to gay sex and the risk of HIV transmission depends on very much on the cooperation of the gay community. We believe in order to have an effective blood screening process, you have to have a question that's scientifically sound and that has the respect and cooperation of the gay community. This question was scientifically sound and had the respect of most people in the gay community when it was introduced over 20 years ago, but it's now scientifically unjustified and overly broad, and the position of the Canadian AIDS Society is that it should be changed. We've been advocating for change for a long time, and certainly we think that at a minimum, one could safely change it to a period of celibacy of 5 years rather than the current period of 33 years.
So you're not opposed to a question that asks about sex with men?
No, it's clear that some kinds of sex with men carries with it a risk of HIV transmission. Although all blood is tested right now, and the HIV test is highly accurate, The window period, that is the period during which infection cannot be detected, is down to 10 days now. So it's a very highly accurate test, and that's our best protection. There are going to be very rare cases where someone might be within that 10-day window period, and so asking a question about risky gay sex is a legitimate additional layer of protection for the blood supply. It's a very modest layer of protection, however. It will only really, this type of situation will only arise perhaps once every 5 or 10 years.
So when the question was originally developed, I understand that the window period was in fact quite a bit longer.
Well, the reality is that we weren't really sure how long the window period was. The AIDS test was new. We weren't sure how accurate it was. Because people seemed to be going for many years without presenting with symptoms, we thought that perhaps the virus could lurk in your body for years without being detectable. That's why when the question was originally framed, it really contemplated a 10-year window period. We know now that that was actually not even correct at the time. There's no such thing as such a long window period. There are people who are infected who don't develop symptoms for years, but if they are tested for HIV, it will show up on the test. The test has gotten better and better over the years, but we haven't actually reduced the length of time for which we expect celibacy. In fact, because the question is based on 1977, as the judge noted in the case, the period of celibacy required is actually getting longer every year. It's 33 years this year, it'll be 34 next, and 35 the next year. And given that the test has kept improving during that period of time, it's really nonsensical that the period of celibacy keeps getting longer.
Now, I know that you represented the Canadian AIDS Society, but I wonder if you could tell us what Kyle Freeman's position was in the case. What did he say about what had happened?
Well, Cal Freeman's position was that there was nothing wrong with his blood. It was perfectly safe, that the question was really an improper one. And I know the judge was very critical of him for lying, but I guess I had asked your listeners to ask themselves this question: would you lie to save someone's life? And I think that was Kyle's perspective on the situation. He felt that there was nothing wrong with his blood. He'd been tested for HIV on numerous occasions. He believed his blood to be safe, and he wanted to help people. And that's why he donated the blood, and he felt that the Canadian Blood Services question was silly and also unconstitutional, and therefore he shouldn't have to answer it
so
accurately.
The general feeling maybe could be characterized as, don't ask this stupid question about celibacy for 33 years. Ask a different question that actually gets at the root of what the issue is that you're trying to avoid.
Right. I think, well-informed gay men understand what the risk, what causes HIV and how to avoid it. And I think most of us who are well-informed know that there's no such thing as a 33-year window period. There never was and there never has been. And as my mother taught me when I was a lad, ask a stupid question, get a stupid answer. We know that a lot of gay men are donating blood right now, and they're ignoring that question. And I think, frankly, that's to be expected when you ask such a stupid question. Unfortunately, that creates a situation that really alarms my client, because it creates the risk that people will not only ignore that question, they may ignore other questions that are important to protect the blood supply, and people will essentially, answer the questions the way they know CBS wants them answered, and then do their own self-assessment of whether they're at risk, and that could be very dangerous indeed.
And there are, of course, a lot of different screening questions that are asked. I know that I tried to donate blood last year, and I was told that I'd spent too much time in the United Kingdom over the last 20 years.
Right. That one is designed to get at a new variant, Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease, which is a very unusual but very deadly disease. And the problem with that particular disease is that there's no test at all. So in the case of the what gets called mad cow disease, the problem that Canadian Blood Services has is that the question is the only way that they have of protecting the blood supply from that disease. In this case, they have the AIDS test is the primary way of protecting it, and the question is a supplement. We don't have a problem with a question that's based on science, but the judge herself, although she ruled against Mr. Freeman, when it came to considering the scientific evidence, she agreed with our position that a 33-year period of celibacy is, there's just no scientific evidence to justify such a lengthy period of celibacy. And that's what we've been saying for a very long time. And you have to ask yourself, if the question isn't based on science, then what is it based on? And we say the answer to that is that it's based on prejudice and it's based on fear. And that's an inappropriate approach to blood donor screening, and it's also a kind of attitude that is not likely to encourage the cooperation of the gay community that is so essential to the protection of the blood supply.
Has the Canadian Blood Services been negotiating with the gay community to find a solution that works better?
I guess it depends on what you mean by negotiations. The Canadian AIDS Society concluded that they've been negotiating in bad faith. We've been talking to them for many years about this. They told us that they wanted to have a study to demonstrate what the scientific consequences would be of shortening the period. The study that they commissioned said that there was no risk associated with reducing the period of celibacy to 5 years. They promptly rejected that report. We thought 5 years was exceptionally conservative, but we could live with it. They simply rejected their own scientist. They proceeded full bore with the lawsuit against Mr. Freeman, attacked the scientist during the trial, and pointed to the fact that they were negotiating with the Canadian AIDS Society and Andy Gall on this point as a sign of how they were open-minded. Well, we haven't found them to be terribly open-minded, and we've actually withdrawn from the negotiations with them because, well, based on their conduct over the past year, we believe that they plan to stick to this question as long as possible. And I think they may still be asking the question 20 or 30 years from now. And we not only think that that is offensive, we think it's downright dangerous because young people are boycotting the Canadian Blood Services in increasing numbers now because they find this question to be offensive. And we're going to be running into increasing blood shortages in the future if Canadian Blood Services doesn't start taking a more realistic approach to this problem.
Now, Kyle Freeman said that it was a charter case. A Superior Court decision said that it was not. What was the basis of that?
Well, there's a couple of foundations for the judge's decision. First of all, she said that even if there had been a charter breach, that didn't entitle him to lie in his answers. The second thing she said was that Canadian Blood Services is not a government agency, which I find probably the most dangerous part of the decision, because Canadian Blood Services is a corporation, but it's owned entirely by the provincial governments of Canada, funded entirely by the provincial governments, and regulated by the federal government. So if it's not a government agency, then there is no such thing as a government agency, and it creates a great loophole in the charter. She also said that it's not a charter violation because the restriction is based on safety considerations and not based on discrimination. I have difficulty with that proposition, since she also concluded that it's not based on science. I don't know how it can be based on safety but not based on science. It seems to me that if it's not based on science, then the fact that it may be, in theory, motivated by safety considerations should be irrelevant because it's not got any objective foundation.
Well, it's been really interesting talking to you this morning, and I thank you very much for taking the time to explain the case to us.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Douglas Elliott. He's a constitutional lawyer, and he represented the Canadian AIDS Society in this case.